Welcome to episode 18 of Nui Tech People. Today we've got Chris Hildebrand, CTO of Village Co. Chris got a pretty interesting background today. You'll hear about his journey from early childhood through to playing with new technologies like VR, machine learning. Hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks. Welcome to episode 18 of Nui Tech People. Today we have Chris Hildebrand, CTO of the Village Co. Thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Mate, Chris Hildebrand, you're probably well known, or at least relatively well known around the Newcastle Traps. You attend a lot of meetups and you've been involved with various things over the last few years. Mate, give us a quick overview for the people that haven't met you. What are you currently doing?
Right now, I'm the CTO at the Village Co., a startup founded over in the Hunter Valley. So we're out there building a platform to help local businesses thrive around Australia. So responsible for looking after the technology strategy and building the team responsible for actually building this platform. So we currently got about 9 people on our team and looking to hire a few more over the next couple of weeks.
Nice, mate, nice. Do we want to go into any more detail on the technology you're using at the moment or?
Technology, yeah, it's pretty basic. We're using Node.js backend for most of our platforms, but there's a lot of Python for some of our machine learning libraries that are being run. Python being, I guess, one of the more commonly used languages for some of these machine learning libraries. And then playing around with different front ends, using Unity, Angular.js, so kind of a few different things. Most of our products are kind of still sitting in that MVP pilot phase. Everything's kind of gone to pilot, but still nutting out the best approach for moving forward into production.
Nice, and you're touching in the augmented reality space as well, which is which would be one of very, very few companies locally or even farther wide playing in that space.
Yeah, so I guess AR is the future in many domains. It's going to take over some part of your life, your kids' life, everyone in the region's life in the world at some point. When, where, and how, it's kind of still up in the air. It still is a relatively new technology that's actually adding business value. Previously, it's kind of just been gimmicks and just for shits and giggles, but I guess at some point there is going to be some real business value derived out of this here, and it's going to affect you in some way. So we're trying to define that and actually add some business value.
Are you saying Pokemon Go is not business value?
Define business value.
good question. Mate, yeah, obviously there's not too many people that be CTO that have the experience that they actually be able to play with, some machine learning, augmented reality. You come from role previous to this, head of innovation at University of Newcastle.
I was a project manager in the innovation team and looked after the innovation team for a couple of months when Craig was away on leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, over there we played with all the cool tech. That was a really exciting time of my life. Got to play with really any new technology that we could use to enhance teaching, learning, and research. From augmented reality, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, chatbots, AI, smart parking. As I said, just pick a buzzword and we tried to explore that tech to see if it was viable, feasible to actually implement in a tertiary education environment, but then I guess also then try and link up those stakeholders and those academics that either had some kind of a teaching problem or they wanted a newer or better way of trying to teach concepts to students, things like the different substructures of the brain or how neurons travel through the nervous system. So yeah, we had some great success, won a few awards. Some of our videos kind of got around to tens of millions of views around the world. So we added some great value. Most of innovation and piloting, a lot of those things now, I think the team are now trying to take into production under the guidance of Anthony and Craig. But yeah, it was really good time to play with some cool things over there.
Nice, mate, nice. Prior to that then, again, you were in, was it Biometric.
Yeah, so I was working for Australia's premier biometric security company. So fingerprint detection, facial recognition, iris scanning, gait detection, the way people walk, to secure some places in Australia, from defence, data centres, government, corrective services, police, places that don't exist. So yeah, implementing different hardware and software solutions to control logical and physical access control for these things. Yeah, which is a whole different world. But again, playing with innovation, the new ways of determining the differences between a human and how we could add that technology into some solution to ensure or increase the security or validity of someone accessing a site. So a prisoner moving through a prison to a guard, making sure he's got his body armor and his duress alarms and things, and making sure that he can't go onto sites unless he's checked out all his gear, all the way through to automatic reporting for low-risk offenders in the community. And yeah, to securing some pretty cool places that aren't on a map.
It's a fair old journey through technology. I guess you're probably different, you're 100% different to a lot of people in the tech field from your experience prior to that. So mate, how did you get into technology? How did this come to fruition?
Yeah, so tech, I guess, has been just part of my life since I was a young kid. I used to pull stuff apart. Never wanted to put it back together, just wanted to pull it apart and see how it worked and then make it or replicate it or make it better. So it was kind of a young age when trying to work out how things were working, and that kind of moved then into building small little mobile apps, did some cool things with tracking to see how fast my car was going in the paddock, to building some little drones, off-the-shelf drones, and that kind of just escalated. So I've always been kind of in that tech space, helping small little businesses build websites and apps and little hardware devices, which I guess now known as IoT, but when I was playing with these things, IoT wasn't really a well-known concept. And trying to apply that to different small businesses. I wasn't really business-minded back then. I just wanted to build cool stuff, yeah. Which I still want to do right now, right? Like, that's my core mission, right? is to build cool things for a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in there was childcare.
Yeah, so I guess I haven't come from a traditional technology background. Tech's always been my love, my hobby, my side gigs, my fallback de facto procrastination kind of getaway. But yeah, I graduated with a Bachelor of Early Childhood Teaching.
Yeah.
Quickly moved through the ranks of a teacher in some centres on the coast in East Sydney, and was quickly found myself managing some of Australia's largest and best childcare facilities. So looking after some pretty large multi-million-dollar facilities. Had teams of 45 working under me at many points, and I guess that was where my first real love for Agile and Scrum kind of came into it. So my first deployment, or I guess implementation of Agile and Scrum, was with a non-tech team. So I actually taught my four-year-olds that I was teaching how to learn with Scrum. So we used to have daily stand-ups about their learning from the previous day. All of the concepts and topics that they wanted to know about went into a backlog, and then when that current concept was explored, it was done, and the kids together as a team would then pick the next concept that they wanted to explore. That became in progress, and again we'd have our daily stand-ups about what they learned yesterday, what they wanted to learn today, or questions that have now been uncovered because they know more about some kind of topic. And that just blew up a little bit, I guess, because I was teaching when I first deployed Scrum with these four-year-olds, was amazing. But then when I was managing these centres, actually removing staff meetings and actually using more of a Kanban and Agile approach to actually disseminating information and getting the teachers to upskill and CBD. So yeah, that's, I guess, my core of Agile came from a non-tech background. And the shift, well, I guess, as I said, I've been playing with tech, building things on the side for quite some time. And one of the centres I was managing, I was sick of having to manually get the time and attendance sheets that the staff would be filling in and putting them into the format to meet compliance. So I built my own biometric time and attendance solution, my own little custom PCB with a fingerprint reader, so that the staff could come in, put their finger on, sign in, sign out. Which then just spat out a report for me, which was compliant, ready to go. So I was able to maintain my standards for the amount of staff on site versus the children, and there was no if, buts, ands from the government. They couldn't say I was forging it, because the fingerprints and the biometrics are those people. I can't just put staff on there on a spreadsheet to say that they're on site.
Is that sort of technology common these days in childcare centres?
It's trying to become. So there have been a few scary incidents where parents with AVOs or disgruntled parents kind of come in onto site and try and take a child. It's hard for staff to deal with that and say no to an angry or aggressive parent. And the company that I was working for with Argus, they started building a solution, which was kind of, I guess, how I transitioned out of that into working with these guys, was putting biometric access control onto those sensors. So that was easy to revoke access versus trying to get back a swipe card or a PIN code. Yeah. Just revoke a biometric a fingerprint from the reader.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like security is important. Like the kids are our future, and they're hard to look after when these places are so large, so big. Open door policies allowing parents to come and see what's happening inside, but also massive risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a court order? Has there been something? Has there been a fight overnight and now dad's or mum's lost it and they want to go and take the kids and run away? So biometrics kind of helped that. And I guess that was the turning point for me to going from technology being my love and passion to being full-time was two salespeople came to try and sell me a solution to secure my facility. I just tried fobbing them off, salespeople, whatever. This is what I do. I can do that myself. Why do I need you? They kind of just said thank you and left. I'm like, yes, win. Salespeople gone. And the CEO called me the next day and offered me to take me out to lunch and offered me three jobs of different streams inside his business.
Yeah.
Once he understood where I come from, what I can do, and my concepts around hardware and agile and thinking about products differently. He created a fourth role, which didn't exist in the company, and I kind of helped them reshape what they are today. They're one of Australia's largest growing companies right now. So I'd like to think that I had a big hand in that.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
It's a fair old journey, hey?
Yeah.
And I think the part that's probably most exciting is that taking the core concepts and taking it across business, right, and taking it out of just pure technology, and then probably to add on to that, how do you take technology and then use it in a business sense, right? As in, not just you love technology and you love playing with it, but how does this actually work in the real world? How does this actually add benefit to businesses? And I think that's where the key to success is, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm always focusing on like what's the problem that's here, whether it's a business problem or whether it's a user problem, like what is the problem and how can we find a solution?
Yep.
And technology isn't always the answer, right? Just technology seems to be the answer for most of these things now, right? But yeah, what's that core problem that someone or a business is having and find a way to solve that? And I guess that's where I am now, right? That's what I've always been about, solving these problems.
Nice. So mate, playing a lot of new technologies now, you've sort of grown through a bunch of technologies, we'll get to that sort of that learning journey, but I guess if you wind the learning journey back to university, you did a childcare education degree, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Mate, what's your, obviously that's probably, or not probably, it's definitely non-traditional for a tech professional, and what was your opinion, how was your experience at university like?
Yes, so I went to Callaghan,
yep.
So University of Newcastle and the Callaghan, oh, not the Callaghan, the Arimba campus. University was great. Like university, loved it. It's a good space for young people to get together. There's a lot of bright minds, and I guess I've now seen both sides of the picture. Right, going through university at Newcastle, but also then being part of those teams that at work with those more senior academic stakeholders. University is great. There's a lot of bright minds that are there, but for my instance, I'm not sure if university helped too much in how it shaped my journey and where I am now. Obviously, like all those critical thinking skills and being able to take information from various sources, analyze and understand what I'm hearing and learning, and then trying to develop my own understandings of those concepts. I guess without university, I'm not sure if I would have got that from someplace else.
Yeah.
Most other sources don't really assist you with that there, but that's what university is good for, right? Here's some content, take it. Now, regurgitate it in your own way back for an assessment task, right? So that whole critical thinking concept, I guess, was one of those core skills that I did learn from university.
Yeah. I think the ability to learn, right? It seems to be a really common answer with university. It's like, hey, degrees change, actual core concepts within degrees change. Different degrees are obviously different. People take out different things for different things, but it's sort of that one core skill that people tend to come through in these answers is that ability to learn.
Exactly, and once you understand that, there learning, like it's lifelong learning, right? Like from university, I didn't stop learning, right? I've always been trying to understand more, whether it's just self-taught learning. So I, as a hardware PCB engineer, like I learned that myself. I didn't do any formal courses, but then from actually formally learning Scrum, that was formal education, right? So I guess that core foundation of learning and understanding how to learn has helped me along that journey, right? Because it's not a I've learned and now I've stopped.
Yeah.
It's a continual journey, and particularly in technology, right? It changes so dramatically, and it's pretty crazy, right? Like where we were a few years ago in terms of VR and where we are to now, or just pick any technology, right? Like the state of change is growing exponentially.
Yeah.
So you can't learn something yesterday and think that's going to be the basis of what you're doing in 5 years' time. It's going to change.
Mate, completely agree. And I think that's a differentiator between the people that are succeeding in the tech space and not, is that ability to learn and continue to move forward with the technologies. On that note then, how you've mentioned self-taught, you've mentioned some formal education. What's your thoughts, advice for other people on best way to continue that learning, that path of continual learning?
To do it right, I guess. Don't think you know it. Like, yeah, you may be an expert, or you may be quite adept or at some kind of concept, but don't think you're the best, because at some point someone's going to be better, right?
Yeah.
So just keep doing it, whether it's using concepts like MOOCs, the massively open online courses, to get small snippets of information, going and doing short courses at the universities, going back to do a degree, right, for some kind of larger topic, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's be an MBA or just a whole new field, right? Just keep learning, keep getting on it. If you're not moving forwards, you're moving backwards, right?
Yeah. You've obviously learned, you know, game development, you've learned AI, you've learned a bunch of these newer technologies, right? Mate, if somebody is sitting in let's call it a traditional tech role at the moment, and wants to go down that route, mate, where would you point them?
So there's many options, right? But there's so much content out there in the interwebs of where you can learn. But like, yeah. for instance, like for Unity, right? The best place to start is just with Unity. They've got amazing tutorials. They have amazing staged kind of projects to help you go through from beginner to advanced and expert level. Start with them. They built the tool. Go along the journey with them. And when there's concepts you don't know about, just try and find out how to solve that problem. If you're already a software engineer or software developer, you probably know how to solve most of these problems anyway. Just thinking about it in a different light. The UIs are different, like the data is going to be different particularly, right? But just do it. If you don't start, you're never going to get there, right?
Yeah, completely agree, mate. I think that the ability to learn, the ability to continue to sort of move forward with technology is that differentiator. It really is. And that's what, you know, I'm sure you're building your team, as you said at the moment. There's sort of key things you'd be looking for, right, is that ability to learn, because you're not going to be hiring 5 AI developers that have got experience there, right? It's taking, hey, what's your core skills? Where are your core skills at the moment? Have you shown ability to learn in the past? And they're the
guys. And I guess that's the key thing, right? Ability to learn. So most of my team right now are graduates or recent graduates. So yeah, we've got some experienced members of our team, but a lot of our people have only graduated from university over the last six to 18 months. But they've shown the passion to want to learn, the ability to learn, and just because they finished a degree 12 months ago doesn't mean they started learning from then in a business sense, right? They've been doing this on the side. They've been trying to do it for the last 5, 6, 10 years. So they've got that passion to learn. They haven't got the industry experience, quote-unquote, inside that field, but they've been doing it anyway, and giving them, a chance to show that is something I'm all about, right? So we've got graduates from media, marketing, designers, through to software developers. Give them a shot.
Yeah, I can put it. Yeah, and hey, you can't really go out there and looking for somebody with, you know, 3 years experience in AR anyway, right? Because it hasn't been around long in the sense it is now. Mate, you've mentioned learning. You're obviously down this path. You're investing yourself. Outside of formal education, mate, any podcast books you like to read?
Yeah, so don't listen to podcasts, because I typically try and get away from podcasts at work. I can't focus. If I've got someone talking in my ear, my brain goes that way versus focusing on the task at hand.
Yeah.
And I'm also a big core believer of unplugging. As much as I love technology, I unplug as much as possible. So I minimize my RF at home. My Wi-Fi gets turned off overnight. Phone's going into airplane modes and things, turn the power off once a month for no electromagnetic radiation. So part of that downtime is reading some books, right? So try and disconnect and unplug. So I've got some cool books here that
I do see that you've brought some books along for the journey today.
just for the viewers at home, right? So I've got, I guess, a few categories, and these ones here are my core books that sit on rotate, right? And they're from people and understanding teams, and I guess it's the foundation of why I've built such great teams in the past, and as a leader. But if you want to read a book about people, Personality Plus, understanding the personality types and realizing that the person you're speaking to doesn't need to change, you yourself need to change so that they're listening to what you're actually trying to communicate. Yeah. And you got to do that in different ways depending on their personality. Yeah. If you don't understand it, how do you communicate with them? So key book in understanding that there. Five love languages. This one's not just about love light. So yeah, it's great for partners and lovers, but also really good in understanding your team, right? So the concepts there around the ways that you can gratify or reward your team depends on how they perceive that based on their love language. So whether they like high fives, whether they like them to have words of affirmation being spoken to, whether they like just some one-on-one time, taking them out to lunch or taking them out to a coffee, or small little gifts, or just doing a small task for them. So yeah, understanding how they receive that. So those two books together, you get a really good understanding as how people perceive what you're saying to them.
Yeah.
And that's been critical to I guess, understanding and building the right teams, because people clash and you understand why in a few of those. One of my favorite books, The Slight Edge Effect, right? If you're not moving forwards, you're moving backwards. There is no concept of staying stable. And I love change. Change is the best thing, which is, I guess, why maybe I like technology, changing so fast.
Yeah.
I hate being stagnant. I hate being in similar positions. Like, I'm always moving fast. That's, I guess, a really good virtue, but also a very negative virtue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get bored easily, but I like the right differences. And this kind of outlines and explains quite well why that's the case and why I like change, right? If you're sitting still, you're going backwards. So how do I always increase and drive to better myself, better my team, better anything I'm trying to do, is kind of based on the principles of the slight edge effect.
Yeah, nice. We got a couple others there. What else we got?
Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. The Secret. The definitive book of body language. So I did a course with Alan Peace a few years ago. So he's world renowned. He writes most of the president's speeches and how they should be. So not just the verbal speech, but also their physical speech,
yeah,
of how and when they should be using their hands, their body language, who they're pointing to and talking to. So that's a good book too. Really good for salespeople to understand how they're being perceived and how to close deals. But still a good book to understand when someone doesn't want to actually be speaking to you right now, when they're trying to get away.
Yeah.
So good book. And one of my favorite entrepreneur books, You Only Have to Be Right Once.
That's true.
There's many successful people out there they're successful. Could they repeat that success? Maybe, maybe not. But who cares? You only have to be right once.
Yeah.
And
a lot of those people haven't only tried once, right? A lot of those people have a lot of failures behind them, but it's that you keep on trying, you try
exactly
new things.
Just keep driving.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree, man. Completely agree. So if you take all this, if you take all these sort of learnings over the past, let's call it in your tech, you know, since you've moved into tech, what advice would you give to yourself if you had to wind it back?
That's kind of a challenging thing, right? Because I think I was in the right place at the right time when I jumped from early childhood into formal tech, right? One of the things I would have told myself is to push harder faster, but I'm not sure if that would have helped me pre-tech. Maybe afterwards, yeah, straight away, deliver more value faster, and I'm quite proud of being open and speaking my words. A lot of people hate that, but a lot of people respect that. So yeah, pushing harder, faster, but yeah, maybe after I made that switch, because I think there was a right time, right place kind of situation that took place there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, but yeah, I think you got to earn that right, as well. Yeah, it's, you earn the right to have the opinion, you earn the right to have that voice or to speak it a little bit louder, right? There's a difference between being the newbie and throwing your opinion out there very, very hardly. hardly is not a word, but very strongly. Yes, exactly. But versus somebody that's actually been there, done that, has more experience and you know, has a more valid point.
Yeah, exactly.
And experience set.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess that's one of the things that I think kind of differs, right, is that I've got so many different touch points in many different parts of technology, right, from IoT, hardware, software, but not coming from a specific stream. I think there's a more holistic viewpoint of how tech can add value. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You're a pretty skilled dude. You've got a lot of experience now. Why have you stayed in Newcastle? Why Newcastle? Or the Greater Hunter?
So Sydney was, that's where I was, right? So my last few centres that I built and run were in Sydney. Yeah. The biometric company was in Sydney. Traveled around the world. Prisons aren't just in Sydney, right? There's prisons everywhere and government is everywhere. So I was travelling, but Sydney, it's a large place. It's really hard to make connections and add significant value there. So the meetups down there are not meaningless, but you don't see the same people across meetups. So they've got even smaller niche groups and really hard to make significant difference. And it's too big. So I grew up on a farm and was looking for some property for my kids to grow up on. Hunter Valley was a perfect fit, still close to family on the Central Coast,
yeah.
which is where I grew up. And the university was here, right? So was here, was at the university for a little bit before I moved into yeah. the Valley. But yeah, starting to love Newcastle a lot. So it is smaller. There's a lot of innovation and a lot of smart people in Newcastle that are trying to do some good with some great successes and some that are still spinning in the mud, but I think they're going to get some traction soon. City of Newcastle, Smart City team, right? One example, like they're looking to revolutionise the way cities look,
yeah.
Not just in Australia, but around the world, right?
Yeah.
The university, like they're doing some great things there too, right? We have some bright minds and some really clever talent here. And the fact that it's not so big and you actually can make connections that are meaningful connections that have the power and the desire to want to change, I think is kind of quite attractive. To Newcastle and the region.
I agree, man. I agree. You mentioned meetups before. Which are the meetups that you tend to go to?
So IoT Pioneers is kind of, I guess, my main one. Yeah. But I'm part of many meetups which I've either have never attended and just see them pop up because there's, well, I guess that's the flip side, right? Is that that's one of the challenges of Newcastle is that there is so many different groups, there is so many minority groups, there's so many different meetups. Yeah. That it's almost impossible to attend all of them, right?
And to keep a family or life yeah, outside
right.
of. Yeah.
So I guess IoT Pioneers and the City of Newcastle's IQ events,
yep.
I guess every single one of those I attend
yep.
For the last 3 odd years, whatever it's been.
Yep.
But then there's like the data analytics, there's like the new startups, like there's a lot of other ones there, but I guess, yeah, IQ and IoT Pioneers.
Nice. And what's your, you've obviously mentioned on, you know, there's some startups in particular starting to get some real traction in Newcastle and a few more on that journey, maybe mm-hmm. just a step or two behind. And what's your opinion on the change you've seen over the past, let's call it 3 years?
Yeah, things have changed, right? Like that's, a startup scene is getting significantly larger and there's a lot more traction being had. So like the Camplify and Liftango guys, they were quite small or they were just a spec on a paper a few years ago, right? But now they're two-digit million valuations. They're doing really well. The teams are growing. They were from co-working spaces to now having some large, significant teams, right? So a lot of traction. And I think Newcastle's helped foster that, the innovation ecosystem and like the 1804s and the I2N hubs and the people that are around those actually helping to accelerate and help them and the slingshotters and things, right?
Yeah.
It's been great to their success, but yeah, things have definitely changed, right? And,
yeah, great.
And it's only the start. There's some big names that are coming out, but over the next few years, we're going to see a lot more new faces up and coming in Newcastle. And it has to be that way, right? Like the industry is slowing down slightly and we're not just a mining town now, right?
No, definitely. Have you faced any challenges being a Newcastle company when obviously you guys are going through a growth curve, building your team? Obviously investment would be part of that. Have you faced any challenges being Newcastle centric, either from a perception perspective, an investment perspective, or growing a team, finding the talent perspective?
Talent.
Yep.
So it's small, right? There's not enough jobs. Like the university is spitting out how many graduates every year, and there's not enough positions available in Newcastle to retain them. So they disappear.
Yeah.
And then we all complain. That is changing. It is changing, right?
But especially in the tech space. I'd love another 50 yeah. quality grads.
And I think that's that as part of that growth, right? Is that a few years ago, I remember that one of the first IQ events, that everyone that was there was complaining about not being able to get talent, and they're trying to get it back from Sydney. And then they were realizing that all the talent they were getting back were from Newcastle.
Yeah.
So why did we let them go in the first place?
Yeah.
How can we help keep them here? Hiring grads, that's what one of the reasons why I started part of hiring grads. We had some great success at the uni.
Yeah.
Anthony gave a handful of grads a shot straight out of uni. I don't even think that they'd even finished their last year of uni.
Yeah.
And he gave them an internship style roles. They showed that they were capable of doing what they were tasked to do. Mm-hmm. We then brought two of them on into the innovation team to work on an AI chatbot. And they blew us out of the water. Like for only being 6 months graduated, or nine, 12 months graduated, like really, really good talent. If more and more people and companies are giving the opportunity to these grads, then the talent's going to be here, right? And you'll have your 50 grads.
Yeah.
Even if it's for short stints, right? Little 6 month, 9 month blocks. Come out of uni, we'll give you some kind of little task to work on. Here you go. We're giving you some industry experience. Your resume looks better. You've now got some industry experience, and then people like yourself can then go place those. Because like I said, like we need team members. Other startups need team members. A lot of other companies are now relocating into the region from Sydney.
Yeah.
They need team members. So the more we can keep them and retain them here, the better. So I think that was, you said it's changing.
Yeah.
That was a challenge, but I think it's over the next couple of years that's going to be a different story. And hopefully people like yourself can help facilitate that, right? And stop letting them run away.
No, I agree. I think the problem previously was there weren't enough opportunities locally, and now that's the flip side. There's plenty of opportunity but not enough talent. It's probably a better problem to have. You're trying to get that back and continue to build the ecosystem here.
Yeah.
Nice, man. What do you say the future of the Newcastle, just like continued growth? Is that where you're seeing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What growth looks like, I don't know, but it's definitely going to be positive growth. Yep. It's going to be innovative growth. With come up with the Smart Cities team and the university and the researchers that are doing some pretty crazy things over there, this region is going to be different. Yep. Hopefully, world groundbreaking and set some precedents to other cities of our size around the world. Because there are a few other cities this similar size.
Yeah.
But good things.
Nice, man. What about the growth for Chris Hildebrandt and the Village Co? What's growth look like there?
Pretty good. So we've kind of scaling up, bringing on three new team next week, and looking by the end of the year, hopefully, to have another 15 odd before the end of the year. So going onwards and upwards.
Nice. It's exciting times.
Very exciting times.
Awesome, man. If people want to reach out to you, find out about your journey or some of the new technologies you're playing with or the Village Co, where would that find you?
LinkedIn. Hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm pretty responsive to messages that want to have a chat about anything, some guidance, debate, anything, right? I'm there willing to have a chat.
You are relatively opinionated.
Yeah.
Debate's probably in your wheelhouse.
Why not?
Yeah, that's good. And outside of that, the two meetups you did to end your event, they'll probably catch you there, right?
Yeah, of course.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Mate, thanks for coming along.
Thank you.
For all the show notes, including all the links we discussed in today's episode, please visit newitechpeople.com.au. Hope you tune in next time.